Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to talk about these amazing readings that were given at Mass this week from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, and then the consistent warning and the hard sayings, some of the hard sayings of Jesus that are given in the Gospels that I think so helpful and so important for us to take to heart. If you didn't have a chance to hear the programs this week, I think you'd be upbuilt by them and encouraged. You can go to our website at renewalministries.net. Everything is there for you. You can listen to it on the computer, download it, whatever you'd like, whatever device you'd like to use for that kind of thing. And then, or get the Renewal Ministries app for your phone. That's probably the easiest because people will say, hey, your show's on so early in the morning. I get it sometimes. I'm up early enough. Sometimes I'm not. So just get the app. You can listen to it anytime you want to. So, okay, Romans chapter 6, verse 12 and following, we're looking at today. Paul says this, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions." In this chapter, Paul essentially talks about baptism. And in baptism, we're literally the old man in us. That's that dimension. Fact of human race is under the reign of sin and death. That's the default mode of the human race. We're born into it. And we're under the cause of it is original sin. And we're living in a fallen world. We're inheriting the fall of our first parents, Adam and Eve. And so we have a sin nature. It's kind of how the Bible talks about it. And that sin nature leads us to rebellion and leads us to, ultimately, because of rebellion, leads us to eternal separation from God. That's what we talked early in the week. The sin problem, Paul tells us, produces the death problem. So what God's solution to that is the gift of his son, Jesus, who becomes one of us, becomes the second Adam. And this Adam, Jesus, gives to God what the first Adam was meant to give and more. And he rightly orders what will become a new race of people that he sires in the Spirit. He makes us a new creation. He takes us out of a death-directed existence under the power of sin and death, and he brings us into his dominion, his power, his lordship, his new creation. He brings us into it. How does that happen? Through baptism. And in baptism, Paul tells us earlier in this chapter that when we're baptized, we're put to death. The old man, that is, we're united to the cross of Jesus. That deed, that act of love by which we're saved, in which the principalities and powers of this world were disarmed, their claim over human hearts was destroyed, and we're given an opportunity to be united to the person of Jesus in baptism. So in baptism, the blood of Jesus washes us clean. And in baptism, the life that was in Jesus that death could not hold down, through which he passed from death to life, the divine life that was in Jesus is now given to us. This is the good news. This is the most amazing news possible, friends. This is worth living like the saints lived, with the realization that, friends, there is literally nothing greater than this. This is the gold. And this is the only way to inherit eternal life, to come into it. Right? So that's the background. And Paul says in verse 10, the death that Jesus died, he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. Jesus died to destroy sin, the power of sin forever, so that it no longer has hold and claim and dominion, as I was saying, over human flesh. But he said he did that once for all, but now the life he lives to God. Jesus has entered new life. He's entered the glory of God and the glory of God's presence. And this is what's important for us. He did it in his human flesh. Humanity's destiny is to share in the glory of God. It's not to acquire the most toys on this earth so that we can be the winner. So everybody can, we can look around and say, hey, look, I know my life was better than yours because look, my yard is bigger. My house is bigger. I got more cars. I got more money in the bank. I have more girls. I have more Las Vegas. I have more honor. I have whatever, whatever people see as the things that set me apart from everybody else and make me the winner. Well, guess what? The world is not a zero sum game. I'm not competing against my neighbor. My neighbor's not a threat to me. That neighbor's meant to be my brother or sister. And we're all being saved. He's being seduced, she's being seduced, I'm being seduced by the devil. We're all in the same battle together. Christ is bringing us into life to live to God forever as Paul says here in verse 11, so you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Put sin to death. I'm not going to put sin at the center of my life anymore. I'm not going to allow my mind and heart to be seduced into believing that I can't be happy without my pet sins. I can't be happy without feeding my flesh in one way or another. I'm going to find my happiness in living to God, living for God, not living as a slave to sin. Verse 12, then he goes on to say, let not therefore sin reign in you, in your mortal bodies, to make you obey its passions. Do not yield your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but yield yourselves to God as men who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. So, do not yield your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but yield yourselves to God as women who have been brought from death to life. Paul is saying this is the decision you must make, and this is what's in play every day. Who do you want to be, really? It never works to be standing in the middle, in the twilight. To live to God means you want to come into the light. I want to get out of the world. I want to get out of that fallen dimension of the world. I'm done playing with it. Whatever it is, lying, cheating, stealing, fornicating, committing adultery, watching pornography, worshiping money, worshiping possessions, worshiping adulation, insisting on my own way, whatever fleshly things are difficult and bondage that leads us into bondage, whatever perversions, whatever unforgiveness is a big one that a lot of people hang on to. I will never forgive these people for what they've done to me. Never, never, never. You make promises, you make vows, and you make yourself a slave to the flesh. The flesh says, my pride has been wounded. I will never, ever let these people off the hook. I'm going to make sure they feel what they've done to me for the rest of their lives. You know, that these are works of the flesh that Paul is saying, if you say yes to these things, you're giving your life, you're giving your body, and in the area of sexual sin, you're actually giving your members over to sin. You make yourself an enemy of God, and instead Paul says, yield yourselves to God, because he's brought you from death to life. Don't live that death-directed way anymore. You've got new power now and a new capacity in the Holy Spirit, in the sacramental life of the church, in the prayer of the church, in the fellowship, in the communion of the church. You have help to come out of that former way of life that was a life enslaved to a darkened mind. He said, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but you are under grace. Sin will have no dominion over you. Very important reality. We don't have to be slaves to sin. We have been given new power and a new capacity to come out of habit patterns of sin. Now, when we give our lives to Jesus, it doesn't usually happen in one moment that we no longer have any problem with sin. We're going to battle sin till we die. But if we walk by the Spirit and we say yes to Jesus and we do everything we can to yield to this grace in our lives, you will steadily come out from under the enslavement to sin, and you will start to walk in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. One of the things that keeps us in sin is being double-minded. I don't want sin. Yes, I want sin. No, I don't. Yes, I do. No, I don't. Yes, I do. Back and forth, back and forth. Paul addresses some of this later in Romans. We'll take a look at it as the week goes on, but I want to continue on today's reading from Romans chapter 6. It's a continuation where we've been. Paul says, I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of our nature. For just as you presented the parts of your bodies as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness for lawlessness, so now present them as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. Remember, as you read through the New Testament, Paul preaches and he's preaching to the Gentiles in these various cities, historic cities, and in them, you know, there's all kinds of pagan behaviors. There's temples where there's orgies, there's a lot of sexual misbehavior, there's a lot of idolatry and things going on. So Paul is saying, stop giving your bodies over to sinful behavior because it's making you impure. It's coming from the inside of you, the desire to be impure and to step into these things, and you're living in lawlessness. But instead, he said, give yourselves as slaves to right living, to righteousness, and you will be made holy. You'll be sanctified by the work of the Holy Spirit. And he goes on, for when you were slaves to sin, you were free from righteousness. But what profit did it get you then from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. This is why God calls us out of these things that we think are life. They lead to death. In this area, he's talking about particularly about sexual immorality. All these warnings in the Bible against sexual immorality, whatever kind it is, premarital sex, masturbation, pornography, adultery, homosexual acts, you name it, all these things that we're all tempted to various kinds of things like this. Jesus laid down the law, if you will. He shed his light on these things and said, these things will kill you. They will defile you. Don't do them, right? And Paul is just following the teaching of Jesus. He goes on, he says, but now that you have been freed from sin and have become slaves to God, that the benefit that you have leads to sanctification. You're no longer under sin, but you're under God and God's right way of living for you, and it's leading you to holiness. And the end of holiness, he says, is eternal life. He says, its end is eternal life. The end of fleshly living in sin is eternal death. Living no longer under that reign of sin leads to eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what's at stake. And that's why the church has to live this and preach this. And if we're living and preaching this, we're the light of the world. If we're compromised, if we're seduced by the world, if we're accommodating to the culture, our light goes dim, our salt goes flat. Jesus is very clear. He says, you're no good to me in that condition. I will spit you out of my mouth. I will trample you under my feet. You're not living in the light, and therefore people are dying because they don't know where to find the light. They think their darkness is light. And so then Jesus in the Gospels, I'll take the last minute and a half here today, Luke chapter 12. Listen to this. Jesus' teaching is so hard, so clear, and inspiring. I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already ablaze. What kind of fire? It's the fire of the Holy Spirit. It's radical love, radical obedience, radical courage, being totally devoted to God. He said, there's a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. The cross was the baptism that Jesus was baptized in. He says, do you think that I've come to establish peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, and friends, we need to hear this teaching today, because this is happening in people's homes and in families and in neighborhoods and friendships. These are the words of Jesus. From now on, a household of five will be divided. 3 against 2, 2 against 3. A father will be divided against his son against his father, mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother, and a mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Jesus is saying this. He's the dividing, he's it, because he's bringing the truth, not a truth, not one of many, but the truth. He's offering the way to salvation. He's revealing the teaching about what human goodness and virtue looks like. Some people want it, and some people don't want it. Jesus said, if you put anything before me, you're not worthy of me. He said, if you don't hate your father and mother, that is to say, if you're not willing to put me before them, he said, you can't even be my disciple. And Jesus said, in families will be divided over me and over my teaching. Where are we going to stand? This is such an important thing. I'm going to talk about it more tomorrow, friends, because this battle is happening now in a way in many, many families that it hasn't happened in the history of our country, probably. So God bless you, friends. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.